session number 16576, Jim Miller, reel 8.
Mr. Miller, reel 8. We were talking about when you went out to France in the back end of September 1939. What do you remember of the trip across then?
It was rough, very rough, and there was a little bit of machine gun firing going on. There was somebody shooting at landmines. There was landmines. And we were on that water a long while. I think we went around in a semicircle to stop Lord Ho-Ho saying something about the Durhams, and we landed at Cherbourg, got off, and we went to Le Mans race course over there. That was the post office and things like that at Le Mans.
How did you get there? Did you march there, or
we were on the train, I think. I'm not so sure. I think we were in the train. There was no trucks. We were in the train anyway. And I was billeted in an Italian's room, the ration room. Some Italian, I forget his name, was on the door. And, you know, the race course, we're right on the race course. Post office was there. And as regards food, drink, I can't remember the meals, soup, I don't know. Anyway.
What were you doing?
At Le Mans. Nothing. We were doing nothing. But nothing we're having to think of. And then we moved to different parts of France, down the south somewhere. I forget some of the places now. I've asked different chaps the places we went to, but they don't seem to realise. But there was one place, Chantenay, that was over the Christmas, 1939-40, was a bad winter. Oh, it's something like what's just happened now. Icy roads, Chantenay, and we were there for quite a long while, doing drills again. And I had a leave from there, 10 days leave, and £2.10 was our leave money. And £2.10 was our leave money. And that's Chantenay. I'm on there. See me? I was a lance corporal then. I got a corporal stripe when I was at Woking, before we moved to France. I was given a stripe. See? I was a lance corporal then.
What difference did that make?
Which?
Being lance corporal.
Well, I had a little section. I mean, it was all right. I liked it. The chaps liked me.
Whose platoon were you in?
16, Captain Annan's platoon. But I didn't know Captain Annan then. I didn't know him.
Who do you remember who your NCOs were, or?
Corporal Wilson. I think it was a Corporal Thompson. Damned if I know.
Why didn't you see Annand? I mean, was it?
Well, he the first time I seen him was on the 13th of May, 1940. I've got a letter from him. He was off the reserve of officers. It's on that paper there. He was in the Navy once, because his father was a Navy man, got killed at Gallipoli. And he was in the Navy, and then he was put on the officers reserve, I think it, we call it, or something. But it was about the 13th of May when I first seen him. He was actually with the Durhams, but he was somewhere else, digging trenches and things, and with the company, and then he came to us. And that was the first time I ever seen him. And what he was a lieutenant then, of course. Second lieutenant. In charge of our platoon, 16th platoon.
And what were you actually doing? You were at Chantenay and then Arras, near Arras, Blary,
yeah, yeah. Bez. Yeah, and then we moved up to, I think it was Mouchine or Orsies, something like that. Can't remember the damn names. Not far from Lille.
And what were you doing during these?
Well, nothing much. Well, you know, it was boring. They called it... It was a... What was the war they called it?
Phony war.
Eh?
Phony.
Yeah. We did some little drills and... this picture there, sorry, all right. Nothing much. And then...
How did you get on with the French?
Well, they were quite happy that we were buying their Dubonnet. Oh, there used to be a lot of trouble and all in the cafes.
In what way?
Well, different regiments having a scrap, you know, smashing too much. And
Would you ever be involved?
No, not... What? No. So this God, I was out. Back to the my little billet. I found squabble, wasn't I? And, in a cafe, if there was a row going on and they start smashing the bottles, the madams would just smash everything. Because they were getting the pay for it, weren't they? They got damages. I shouldn't say this, but the Scottish regiment usually had a bust up. Motion, and we come to the 10th of May.
Now, what exactly happened then? What was the first thing you knew of the German attack?
When they were bombing Douai. They were bombing Douai. That was a railway place. And that was the start of it. And, as I say, we all rushed out of our billet. And our platoon sergeant was named... I've had his name. Oh, Peggy O'Neill. Sergeant Horner Peggy O'Neill. Peggy O'Neill. And you get out there and lads with rifles. And the planes came back from the bombing. And actually there was one bomb dropped in Air Company's lines as well, but it didn't go off. It was a dud. They were lucky, them lads. Anyway, they just come back. Well, later on, there was a bit of firing. And we all went back into our billet. And it was the first floor of a barn where we were. And later that night, the stokers came. And that was the first time, well, the lads and all, they'd heard a stoker where it's terrible sound. You know, going down, and it seemed to be coming towards our barn, like, and somebody shouts, it's one of the secret weapons coming with it, and that was one of them Stuka planes, and I tried to get through the floorboards, it's a terrible, a lot of shelling and aircraft lads, they were sending the, they brought one down, they brought a plane down, somebody did, a lot of cheering. Anyway, Sergeant O'Neill says, there's nobody leaves this billet, because I always wanted to get outside. We were the lads around. We had to stop there. It was, I don't know why we had to stop there, you know. And then there wasn't much happened after that. And until the next morning. And then we start preparing to go into Belgium. I think we got to Belgium on the 13th of May. Other of a dog, I went by truck, and marching as well, like, of course. And our trucks were going through with the battalion on, people were lining their roads cheering us, you know, thought, oh, you know, we're going to do a lot of damage to the Germans. Anyway, we got to Lartoum, and we got in the trenches. The Belgians had been, they'd left trenches there, but they weren't very deep. I think we had to do a bit of shoveling as well to make it a bit deeper.
Were there trench lines or just slit trenches?
It was more like a slit trenches. You know what I mean? It wasn't a wasn't a big proper trenches, you know, just something in the ground like. And our platoon was on the right, of a bridge, a wooden bridge. And some say that Prussian general moved over it, marched over there with his troops to go to Waterloo, because we were in the Waterloo area. What was his name?
Blücher.
Yeah, that's right, Blücher, I can't see. He'd marched over this bridge, you know, the big battles there before. Anyway, it was pretty quiet, and that was the first time I seen 2nd Lieutenant Annand, because he'd been with some more Durham somewhere else digging. I've got a letter from him here, what he was doing, you know, like, and all that.
And what were your first impressions of Annand? What did you think of him when you first saw him?
A young 2nd Lieutenant. He's all right. He's quite there. He's quite a nice lad. That's a big, tallish. I said, big jike, you know. And when I met him, when I first met him, I said, we had a nickname for you. Jake. He says, aye, I know. That's where.
Why Jake?
Because he's a big lad. Well, it was something about the Daily Mirror. Just Jake, you know. He was one of us. If you ask, you know, he's great. I admire him. He saved his platoon.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, but anyway. No, nothing much happened until the 15th. That's right. I wonder about the 15th.
So what did you do on the 13th, you know, for those 2 days?
Nothing much. We went on a reconnaissance. There was some white tape. And that we had to follow the white tape at night time. I thought it was a stupid idea. And Captain, second lieutenant there was there with us, and some kind of reconnaissance. I mean, if we'd left them tapes here, the Germans could have come. I couldn't understand. There were some silly things done like that.
Anyway. And where was the reconnaissance? It was in front of you, across the valley, was it?
Yeah, right in front of us. I don't know. There wasn't much doing anyway. No, there wasn't much doing. Only one night I was on Sentry Go. This is about the 14th. And we were told to look out for nuns, anybody, some silly things, nuns like, you know, or any strange, not about. Well, I was standing there, it was pretty darkish, and I saw this form coming towards me. And I shouted, "Alto goes there. Friend." And I says, "I've had friend be recognised." I could hardly see it. Look like. And he stopped. I says, "Halt." And I says, "Password. We had a password." "Password." I don't know what the password is now, like, but, well. "Password." "Silence." I yelled, "Password." "Silence." And around up the bridge. And the voice said, "Don't shout, Dusty, it's me." It was me. "It's Ducky. He was coming for a message, and he forgot the password." And I've got a picture of Ducky here, yeah. And I met him in 1987. Ducky. He lives in Chesley Street.
What was his surname?
He was in my squad. His name's Martin Douglas. I've got his address. And and he was in the same squad as me. He's on that foot. I've got the squad, Martin. And I hadn't met him since them days. And how I met him was...
That's not really relevant.
Stop there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So what happened next then?
Well, he called me. Had a message for the company commander. I don't know, you know, but...
Did you see many refugees? Apparently there were some refugees.
Oh, yes, yes. Now I've become to that. Now, our artillery, that's right, I was sent out in front of the bridge, into a foxhole, and my mate, Geordie Blackburn, the two of us were sent out on each side of the road, about 40 yards up the road from the bridge. And what we're sent there for, I still do not know, you know, on either side of the road. And after a while, C Company came marching down. They had been in front. And they were shouting at us, "We've seen the tanks, Dusty," and all that. They were like, In fact, I thought it was great fun. They'd heard, seen the Germans and heard the Germans, and they went into arrears of our company, of our, you see. And a little while later, an Alsatian dog came trotting up the road towards us, towards the base lake. And when it saw us, it turned round and started running away quick. Left hand and shout, shoot a dog, he yelled at us. Well, I didn't have my rifle in the proper position, but George did. He had it down there. George fired a shot at it, missed, and the dog was going round a bend. There was a railway crossing up the road, like, and he was going round the bend. And he hit the dog, and that was the German's first casualty. What dog? Poor thing. Well, the Germans had these dogs trained to go up, and the sons of sorted khaki uniform to get back as quick. And I think they used to. That's why left hand shot it. I think it was a reason. Anyway, the dog died anyway. Well, a little while after that again, Anand shouts, come back, we're going to blow the bridge, hurry up. And I went, help, like. Anyway, we just got into position again, and up went the bridge, blown up.
That was on the 14th. According to the book, would that be right?
That's right, yeah. The bridge went up then. And a little while later, the refugees come. Oh, dear me. Oh, I was picking little kids up and carrying them across the rocks, you know, the bridge, you know, the wooden, you know, they couldn't. Oh, dear, I was nearly in tears. All these refugees.
Wouldn't they have come before the bridges were blown up?
No, they came after.
How did they get across?
Well, they were just stepping on bits and pieces of wood, innit? Because I was carrying the children across. And other lads, like. And, oh, yeah, that was blown up. Anyway, back to our position again. And then nothing much happened. We just stayed, like.
How deep was the river there?
Oh, it was pretty deep. Well, yeah, it's pretty deep. Man, there were still some pieces left, I believe.
Of the bridge. So the bridge wasn't properly blown up?
No, not. I wouldn't say it was properly blown up. It was blown up anyway. You know, I mean, engineers did it. But anyway, on the 15th of May, our artillery opened up. And they were shelling. We were sitting in the trench listening to shells going over. And there were shells were dropping a hill along, you know, up. And Andy Steedman was with me, young Andy. And I sat down, he asked to call me, many Germans left with all these shells going over there, you know. Anyway, that went over a while and then it stopped. And a little while later, a shell come whizzing over. And woof, it was a German shell. And our artillery never answered back. So whether they were pulled back, I don't know. But there was shelling went over the Germans. They were sending the shells over and shelling each other. And I got a look. I was sitting in the trench with my leg like that. Here. And this knee was up here.
Your left knee up.
Yeah. And the lump of shrapnel ripped me right on the knee. And I pulled it out. And I put it in my pocket. Oh, yeah, that knocked me as well, you know, me bad knee. Anyway, I got over that. And mortars, the Germans really started on us, you know. And we did our best shooting them. And I think, when was it? Was it getting dusk? When Anand, well, the Germans were trying to get a pontoon across the bridge. They were trying to get across. And when night time came, I'm a bit lost here, when night time came, all the very lights were going up, red, greens, and I looked, and it looked like a moving field of steam. The Germans coming. On stand. Yeah, the lights on the helmets. That's a car. Anyway, we got the order, we were out, well, we were firing then, shooting.
Were you just riflemen, or did you have a machine?
Yeah, riflemen. Yeah, just riflemen firing towards the bridge, mostly.
Were you nervous?
First of all, yeah, everybody was. But somehow you got used to it. Well, if you don't kill them, they'll kill you. You know that, you know. And Andy here was there, I said, go on, Andy, get away. And Anand, he had a sandbag, and we had grenades there as well, like. And he said, put some grenades in his bag, like, and I put about half a dozen in. And after one, he went down to we were right on the end trench, and he went out, and he was slinging hand grenades at the Jerrys, trying to get the pontoon across the bridge. He come back again, and I put some more in for him, more grenades. I think he went out three times. And he went out the next day, no. And I thought, we might shoot it, you know, we could have shot him. Yeah, he was coming. He's a brave man.
Was he under a lot of fire then, while he was doing that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they put a barrage up. Oh, it was terrific. Really frightening. There was every... Oh, God. Oof. And then we got the order to move out. Well, Sergeant O'Neill, I went back with Anand to get some more ammunition because we'd run out. You know, hand grenades. And Terry O'Neill, that was Territorial Sergeant O'Neill, he was putting detonators in the hand grenades in the dark. You're not going to blow it up if it missed. And Terry lost his right hand. I don't know, but it maybe shrapnel, maybe.
Oh, it wasn't doing that then? It wasn't doing that. It wasn't doing the detonators.
No, this was after he'd done the detonators.
Right, okay. Carry on then.
He lost his right hand. Anyway, we had to get out of the position. We had to get out quick. And we went up a road. Marching, the roll call was made. McCool was missing, you know. And
Anand was wounded by then, wasn't he?
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. He never said anything. He could, anyway, the Sergeant O'Neill, I think it was, said to him, sir, your batman's missing. He's back there. Joe Hunter. He was a silent lad. And Captain Anand went back for him. And he found a barrack in a barn, though. There was a barn to our right of the trench we were in. And I remember the barn. He found a wheelbarrow in there. And he got Joe back.
On his own?
Yeah, he wheeled him. Called him the wheelbarrow VC. He didn't get his VC for that. Joe was taken to hospital. Well, I suppose ambulance there, some hospital. But later on, the hospital was overrun by the Germans. And Joe was took prisoner. His legs had gone, I think. And Joe died in a prison. In a prisoner war camp in Poland. I met his brother at Sunderland sometime, and his brother told me this about Joe losing his life after he'd been saved. I got his brother's address, but since then his brother's moved. He's moved.
So you were pulling out. Were you under fire as you were pulled out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Small arms, like, you know, they were getting... Anyway, we marched and we kept stopping and it's hard to say what they are. Anyway, I'm trying to think what's happened. Oh, that's it. We marched into a wood, a forest near Brussels, and the quartermaster, Pearson, he made some soup, thick soup. We all had a feed, like. Soup, and Lieutenant Colonel Yates, he gives a lecture.
It would be Simpson by then.
Oh, Simpson, that's right. Oh, Mr. Yates, he took ill. Colonel Yates, Simpson, B.Y. Simpson, that's it, yeah. I knew he was out in India with us, Simpson. That's right. And he says, you've got all fixed bayonets and we're going to go back and, you know, we're going to do it the Germans, like. Well, that was a bit of a sweat on me. But
We didn't go back. We had to keep moving. And we went on to Tournai. That's right, we got to Tournai, amongst other places. You know, it all happened so quick. And Tournai was in flames. I remember that. And there was a lunatic asylum out, and they were running all over the place, laughing and close. You know, and we had to leave quick from there. I don't know what happened to these inmates. Because Andy stayed my mate, he's always on about these inmates. And then from there, we went on to Saint Venant. We took a position there. And
that was on the night of the 25th, according to the book.
25th, yeah, it could have been 25th or 26th. 25th, yeah. But nothing happened. I took a position, we just marched up there and took our position. And I can't remember getting anything to eat. Oh, no, it's just strange. Anyway, on the 27th. Well, that's right, there was a...
Was Annan still with you then? Or had he gone?
No, he went back to England with his wounds. He didn't see any more of the war.
So I know you've known him ever since, but in action, you only really knew him for a couple of days in action.
That's all, yeah.
I know you've known him ever since, but...
Yeah, but this is a later story. But, Saint Venant.
Now, you were moved, D Company were moved to cover a gap on the right flank next to the Birches.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about that. Like, all I know, I was in the trench with Georgie Blackburn, we met again, he was there. Like, I told you about him when he met us in the barn, didn't I?
Yeah, but you're going to come to that on the tape.
Oh, all right, honey, but anyway, me and Georgie were still stuck together. And there wasn't much of a little bit of gunfire now and then. And I remember somebody said, Sergeant Pearson's been killed. He was sent out with some men. He'd been killed anyway, because I heard a rattling machine gun fire from the Germans. I think it was from the Germans, but I never saw a German. I never saw a German soldier. And there was a sniper, because the sniper started on the 27th. No, the 28th, I'm getting rid of it. On the 28th, or the morning of the 28th, there was this young lad by me. I didn't know his name. And the sniper had already fired two rounds, I think. Whether he'd killed anybody, I don't know. But he was in front of us, well, slightly to our right. And this young lad, I said, get your head down. I said, the sniper there. He wouldn't. He says, no, German's going to kill me. Them was the words he said to me. And he had another look up and ping. Right through his helmet. Right through his head. And he didn't make any sound. He just closed his hands and shut his eyes and he went down. Sure, you know, it's frightening. Well, me, I went mad. He had a Bren gun by him. I grabbed the Bren gun. I mean, I'm not talking nonsense. I stood up and it was fully loaded, banged around in, and I fired towards where the sniper was. I thought he was. I was standing up. There was no. He could have shot me if he'd been a sniper. I often wondered, did I get that man? I often wonder. Anyway, not long after that, there wasn't all that much firing and shelling. No, there wasn't. And anyway, there was Martin McLean, that was the first time I'd seen Martin McLean. And he was a PSM. I didn't know he was. I didn't know, you know. And somebody told him young Fitch had been killed. I didn't know the lad's name was Fitch. Martin McLean told me.
So Martin said that this lad who was shot through the head was called Fitch?
Fitch, yeah.
Okay, so what happened next? You got up, so you were pretty agitated.
Yeah, no, I paid in the direction where the sniper was. With the young lad had a Bren gun. And anyway, after that, shortly after that, Oh, there was some shot, because we were in front of a privet hedge in front of this farm, our position, and we could hear the shots going through the hedge, like bees, you know. We were pinned down. We couldn't do anything. Anyway, a little later on, two shots were heard in this farmhouse. A little while later, I saw Martin again. I says, "Martin, what were them two shots in there?" Well, I didn't know he's Martin. I says, "What were them two shots in there, sir?" You know, you had to come and see it. And he says, "There were two German spies in there. They've been killed. They were